music sucks.
And welcome back to the one and only Rascast, episode 93. We are not screwing up this week. This is episode 93 of the one and only Rascast. And we are here to have a very serious discussion about the unserious world of professional wrestling. And if you want to get a hold of the show, okay, I'm going to admit I don't have it all memorized, even though I think it's just Rascast at everything. But I'm heavy set, and I'm going to kick it on over to the Biohazard, who has all that and takes care of all those needs. Bio?
Yeah, you can send us a little email if you want at rascast@gmail.com if you want to have your email read by AA. You can follow us on Twitter at Rascast. You can go to Facebook, just search Rascast, because we haven't got a URL set up for that. But I am Bio. How's your week been, Heavy?
Kind of busy, kind of okay. We'll get into some of that later. This next week coming up is busy as fuck. So, like, actually, right now, I don't know how different I sound. I know towards the end of the episode, I'm going to sound normal. But right now, I'm on my way home from work. Normally, you would think, oh, that means you guys recorded really early. No, we're recording really late because my day sucked.
I was off today, so I pretty much done nothing all day.
No, not true. You downloaded the professional version of Pamela.
Well, yeah, that's one thing.
But that's pretty much it. You decided that your beard looks really good.
I took that picture like 3 or 4 days ago.
Okay. And you and a friend are going to go as the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
See, in Iowa, we don't call them professionals. We just call them hookers.
And once again, can't wait his turn. We have Andy Anderson.
Well, you throw something out there like that, I can't let it lie. Happy wonderful Survivor over week or Thanksgiving week.
No. We are celebrating the 1 year anniversary of Bio being on the Rascast. Yay!
That's where it all.
And we didn't run you off.
I'd say hit my music, but I don't have a theme song.
Bray Wyatt's theme?
Aren't you in a band?
That doesn't mean I have a theme song.
Weren't you supposed to come up with music for the show?
Like 6 months ago.
See, that's why people left the show, because you couldn't live up to your obligation.
And yet I'm still here and they're gone. What does that tell you?
I'm actually surprised you're still here, Chevy Jr.
I talk more than him.
Not at first.
That was at first.
That's why you were Chevy Jr. But we also have Katie, the First Lady, back this week.
I seriously thought that you, after the hooker comment, I thought you were going to go, and speaking of hookers. But
Of hookers, we have Katie, the First Lady.
Yeah. I'd pay highly on for Thanksgiving.
She'll come over. If you pay her enough, she'll come over and eat your Thanksgiving dinner.
Yep.
She's not coming from Staten Island. She's coming from the red light district.
Mm-hmm. For anybody that's turkey on Thanksgiving, you're just weird. I don't care who you are.
What was that?
Hey, Katie. Right.
No, repeat. Repeat it, Katie.
I said for anybody who doesn't eat turkey on Thanksgiving, you're just weird. I don't care who you are.
So weird. One thing that I do though, I mean, granted, I do have turkey, but when I do the weekend before Thanksgiving, which was this past weekend, my one friend's house that I go to, we always have lasagna, and it's so perfect. I'm glad we have turkey and we have all that, but we always make sure we have lasagna. That's like one of the so good.
Is anybody going to go shopping on African American Friday?
Seriously.
Nope, I'm off, and I said F it. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Well, since I'm gonna do the editing for the show, I'll just try to remember that I'm not gonna go out on Black Friday. I'm waiting for Tuesday.
I shouldn't be laughing.
It's kind of. I'm referencing Zach and Mary Make a Porno, which I should watch this weekend, because not only does it mention have that line in it, but it's also about a 10-year reunion, maybe more than like that, but a class reunion, which I'm doing this weekend. I'm gonna put that on my list. Anyway, that's completely derailed of what we normally do. Let's get into the actual show, the stuffing and the potatoes and the turkey, the meat and potatoes of it all. Let's talk about Keep Toss or improve, and we are going to start with, I'm going to start with Bio. What? Bio, you're on mute.
I was thinking.
Sure.
Yeah.
I knew you didn't drop off the call because you're hosting it.
Anyway. Yeah, there's just so much to toss this week. It's hard to pick one thing.
To toss?
But, yeah, like, having Sheamus cash in at Survivor Series, I'll toss that. Granted, it was the only thing. It was one thing that they could do to stay safe with everything going forward, especially if they want to keep Roman face and give him a big push still. But the problem is everyone shit all over the Sheamus finish.
Isn't that the point, though?
Well, I don't know if he caught Raw's ratings, but it was the lowest rating they've had in a while for Raw.
You're going to have that aspect of it, but at the same time, he's a heel and you're supposed to hate him.
Are you not entertained?
I'm not sports entertained. I get it. He's a heel and we're not supposed to like him. But at the same time, I feel like they did this just to scramble the fact that Seth Rollins wasn't there.
I think one of the thing that actually gets me about it all, I mean, I don't have no problem with Sheamus becoming champion. I like Sheamus. I actually have two Sheamus shirts. It's the, and I've seen of the video, I just haven't actually watched it, that basically the whole Roman Reigns thing was like a shot-by-shot remake almost of Daniel Bryan getting screwed at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the other thing. It's like they're trying to build him like Daniel Bryan, but it was more of Daniel Bryan fans were already there beforehand.
They're definitely trying to create sympathy for Randy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame them, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm still to the point where people are like, why do you hate Roman Reigns?
Roman Reigns to be champion at least for a day. That was my whole thing.
I could read a Facebook message, and I think we talked about this previously. I can't remember if it was on this or Anything Goes. I have a friend of mine who's a couple years older than me, and he's kind of a mark. Kind of. But I don't know how to explain it. He sent me a message after he finished the pay-per-view, bitching about, you know, once again, they're screwing it to Roman Reigns, I'm getting pissed, blah, blah, blah. But the main fact is, he's for Roman Reigns. He wants Roman Reigns to be champion. He bitched when Seth was getting all those fucking wins, every step of the way. And I try to tell him, like, dude, like, chill. Everything's going to be fine, and there's this, and there's that. And I had to send, like, a long fucking, like, message to him, kind of explaining certain things, and just kind of like, dude, you need to, like, chill. It's not as bad as you think it is. There's this, there's that. He tried to say, like, storylines were bad, too. And I'm just like, dude, they're kind of always that way. There's just not ones that, like, stand out at some aspects. I find what I like, and I go, and I'm happy with it. And go.
But who looks stupid now?
What do you mean he looks stupid now?
That's the line that Sheamus used. And I figured you was going to say that, and I knew it was coming. I thought it was great. I thought it was brilliant. I loved his promo he gave it on Raw. I think this is the best thing they could have done. Now they got the stable between Sheamus and Rusev and Barrett. I don't know what you want to call him, but I like it.
I actually missed the first half hour Raw. That's the only thing that I missed. And they didn't really.
This promo was really good. It was impressive.
Yeah, they only reviewed like one small part of the whole opening.
Have you guys noticed that Triple H likes the Money in the Bank briefcase?
What?
No.
The past three winners of the Money in the Bank have gone on to be in the Authority or affiliated with the Authority.
I guess.
That's true.
Right.
Randy Orton, Seth Rollins, Sheamus.
Randy Orton was the beginning of the Authority.
Yep.
And that's why he counts, Andy.
And who was
Bow the down one? To
who
the
was,
king.
Who was the one before him, Damien Sandow?
Sandow got screwed. People complain about that, but I look at it like, I think it was one of those aspects of WWE changed their mind on what they wanted to do with the two titles. When he won it, I think they were going to give him a World Heavyweight title reign. And then when they went like condensed it down to one, they were like, well, we have this Money in the Bank briefcase. Yeah, there's no way he's going to cash in on after that. So he might as well just cash in again.
Yeah, I think they had the plan to unify the titles, like you said, right after the fact. I don't, if I remember correctly, they didn't have the titles unified before he, or when he cashed in.
No. No, I don't believe.
Yeah, they were not. I believe.
No, it was beforehand. But what I'm saying is, they didn't officially talk about it, but I think they knew they were going that. As soon as they made that decision that they were going that direction, all right, no more sand out the briefcase. We need to hear it because he's not going to fit into the plan of. If you look how everything planned out from that point to the next Money in the Bank, you had Orton. They unified the titles. Orton became champion. Held it till WrestleMania, then it was Daniel Bryan, and Daniel Bryan was probably supposed to keep it for a lot longer than he actually did.
Yeah.
No room for Sandow. And even if they didn't, they might have even supposedly known that Daniel Bryan was going to win. Still, it's no way they were going to go that way. Because the World Heavyweight Championship had gotten to that point where it was the second-tier title. And I personally liked it because it gave people the credit of you were your former world champion, even though it's not exactly looked at that way. It's a way to pad stats. CM Punk won the... Sorry, old school, if you're listening to this and you hear me sniffle, I'm not into my room yet to get my nasal spray, so that'll go away. Complained about it. But,
CM Punk World Champion.
Yes. The two times he won the World Heavyweight Championship, he wasn't really considered a main event material. It was kind of a test title and all that kind of stuff. By the time he actually won, so he was a three-time champion at that point, it made him seem like a bigger deal. All right, what's your keep or improve?
Well, let's keep the Stardust Titus O'Neil segment that aired right before their match on Raw. That was probably one of the best highlights of Raw besides the New Day that I saw. It was just a great, funny segment. Stardust in his little star room, and Titus pops his head in there, saying he must have took a wrong turn, and they were cutting up and talking about different constellations. It was kind of funny.
He poked himself on the shoulder pads.
He went to tap him on the shoulder and, stabbed his hand. It was hilarious.
That made me chuckle.
Titus is very funny, and Stardust has a great commitment to character. That segment was awesome.
He does.
I think I like when they do comedy segments to an extent. Like, if it's a little... This was like maybe a minute or two long. Things like that add to Raw because it helps you get a little laugh in with all the quote-unquote seriousness aspect of wrestling. It's nice to have that as long as it doesn't drag out, and this segment fulfilled that little laugh anecdote.
And there's some people that can do comedy wrestling, other people that can't. Stardust is one of I like the line that he toes. There's times that he's kind of comedic, but he can also be villainous, and that works really well with Titus O'Neil, who we've seen, like him and Darren Young, get them in a promo together and let them be themselves, and you're going to get some funny stuff. Like when they did the thing where they mocked all the tag team. That was...
Yeah.
We talked about that every week they had one to make sure we got them all. And still my favorite quote when Darren Young says his favorite color is rainbow. Because they knew the fans that knew that he was gay would get it. And then the rest would just be like, what?
Didn't they have like a rainbow bear or something like, oh, that's my favorite color.
I don't remember what it was. They poked fun at stuff like that. So seeing those two together, I was very happy.
I always liked Kate Patterson too.
Hopefully we see these four as in, well, it's not four, see some form of five, with meaning the Ascension with Stardust and Prime Time Players.
I would like to see Titus O'Neil in a singles title run, as long as he keeps the character interesting, because when he went before, they just didn't really have a whole lot for him.
It was boring.
Yeah, I still the whole split up to put him back together.
Vince, that's the one thing I'd love to ask him, is why does he always want to break up tag teams? The way I looked at it, in the 90s, some of the best tag teams never broke up. And just because what I think it stems from is you were able to break up the Rockers and the Hart Foundation, and you were able to get Shawn Michaels. Well, yeah, you were able to get Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart out of that. Sometimes you should just have a tag team stay together. Let them be the Legion of Doom, which granted...
Look at the Dudleys.
Because they could both end up being Marty Jannetty.
they were the exception, not the rule. Bret and Shawn were the exception.
But Vince finds a formula that he likes, and he keeps trying to duplicate it. Sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not. Look at another good one.
Edge and Christian. But, I mean, Edge came out as a single person first, and then he...
Hey, Christian was also a world champion. He just needed one more match.
One?
See, he was a multi-champion, and a multi-time world champion in TNA.
I don't think the Hart Foundation, the New Hart Foundation should have broke up. Keep them together.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree there.
You're not
gonna, I like them as a tag team.
You're not, yeah, you're not going to push what they call him, David Hart. You're not going to, well, the British Bulldog Jr. Now. You're not going to push him.
The
Hart Dynasty. I was thinking of the other one, 97.
Well, the Hart Dynasty, yeah, that's what I meant. Mm-hmm. Tired. Anyway, but the Hart Dynasty, or technically they were the new Hart Foundation before they got to WWE, Teddy Hart. That's a tag team you could have kept together. I think of another tag team they broke up, and you just go, really? Why are you doing this? Crime Time. Another great one.
Mm.
Keep them together. There's so many tag teams they broke up because they want to create that formula. Well, I don't know. See, when Vince finds a formula, he tries to stick with it. Look at the Divas. He went through wrestlers and all that kind of stuff, and then Trish came along. Fitness model, taught her how to wrestle, became, a lot of people consider her the greatest woman's wrestler ever. Vince goes, oh, I need to keep doing that so we can recreate it. Doesn't always Kelly Kelly.
Io, what's your toss or I guess you got both of them, but yeah.
What are you, Andy, what are you doing? I'm close to kicking you off this show forever.
Okay, I'm sorry.
God.
There wasn't even, like, a lull there. You just wanted to keep moving on. You thought what?
Yeah, I thought we were getting off topic.
Move on. Katie, keep pressing.
Yes. Well, this is sort of an improved slash toss. All the injuries that have been happening this year. We don't even know what Daniel Bryan's situation is, but Orton's down, Rollins is down, now Cesaro's down. It's really been a sucky year for injuries.
Every year in general is a sucky year for injuries, but this year it just seems worse.
Back to back.
And it's also a lot of, there's a lot of top talent, plus the upper mid-card guys, too, that have gotten taken out. Mm-hmm. Normally it's like a couple, like it's, normally it's split across the board, but this time it's...
You got injured.
Yeah, this time it's all your main event level talent, and I think that's why it looks as bad as it does.
The only one not injured is Cena.
Yeah.
But he's away, which actually, I'm fine with him being away. Nothing against him, but he's definitely a guy, because he works so much. Take some time off. Great, yeah. I know he's still going to do his working out stuff, but have a light schedule. That's a huge thing right now, especially, I think with the Cesaro and Seth Rollins thing happening so close, and it seems like Cesaro's going to be out for 6 months.
And he's been dealing with the injury for a while, he said.
Part of me thinks that's stupid for him to keep going, but at the same time, it goes back to last week when there's people, I mean, not on this show, oh, Cesaro should have won, he should have did this, they're burying Cesaro. Well, I've said, really? I need to go in the house. I don't know if anybody heard that, but someone, like, punked their horn right by me. Cesaro was, like, what, the final, not the final four, final eight? So it's not bad. And a lot of people considered his match with Reigns to be really good.
It was.
He's always put in high regard. I think what people don't like, and it could very well be his future, he might not ever be world champion, but he might be one of those workhorse guys. The thing is, sometimes that pays off, to be that workhorse guy, where eventually they give it to you because you've earned it in a completely roundabout way. A lot of people get an easy path. He's getting a much harder path, just kind of my opinion. But just, like, it just goes to show you, you know, him winning, it obviously wouldn't have made sense, especially with the injury. Him going away for up to 6 months, I'm wondering what's going to happen when he returns. Going on with what's going on with Tyson, because either he's done for good or they're saying he could have like up to a year off. So that puts them right around the same time of coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you push him hardcore? That also puts him around the same time as Seth Rollins. When he comes back, they can go either way with him too. What do you guys think?
Interesting.
It would be nice to see Cesaro get that push, but I don't know. Like you said, with him coming back around the same time as everyone else, I don't see it happening for him to get a world title push immediately.
Do you know who Cesaro kind of is? I think at the end of his career, if he stays healthy, which is ironic to this comparison, if he stays healthy, who he's going to remind me to? Edge. Edge took a very long way to become a main eventer and champion.
It took that return.
It took the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before
that's
he
really,
was
really
even
got that push.
Yeah, and he had a great feud with Cena.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, I always love his feud with Matt Hardy, but the feud with Cena was excellent.
That was my favorite.
They had a nice back and forth with the title. A lot of great moments, especially with Cena's dad.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cesaro is going to be the next Edge, especially with the tag team background. I think they're going to keep him tag team for a very long time, but they know a star that they have in him, but he will eventually win. Because a lot of people say, like, oh, look at all these things he has, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, look at Edge. Look at Edge's resume. He's like one of the most decorated wrestlers in history, but is nowhere considered as popular as your Stone Cold, your Rock, your Cena, your Hogan. As long as Cesaro stays healthy, he'll go.
I could see why he was working through an injury like that, because when you're getting TV time like he has been getting, you don't want to stop and don't think you're going to get back there and have to work all the way from the bottom again to get back up there. So, I mean, I could see why he was probably pushing through some stuff, but, I mean, I see both points, you know, take some time off so you get back sooner. But, I mean, it just seems like... Who said it? I think it was Austin said it, or I can't remember right now. Oh, it could be in my what's on, but I'll talk about it now. Like Ric Flair on his podcast was talking about how he went overseas with some of the guys, and he just noticed how a lot of them are walking on eggshells because they'll do whatever they're told in regards to like Charlotte, that if she's presented with something, she's not going to turn it down. She's going to go with whatever's presented because you want the time. You want to be able to compete and do what they say and keep pushing to forward your career and keep the momentum going.
I can see that aspect of it, but you know, Vince said in that podcast about grabbing the brass ring and everything. There's people who do it every day, but it, some of them don't get the same type of recognition. I'm trying to remember. I heard someone actually say that. I'm trying to remember what it was. Or you see a lot of people actually like keep grabbing. They're grabbing a brass ring, but like no one's like pointing it out.
Triple H had a segment there with Cesaro and said, "You finally get the chance to grab the brass ring. You might have the chance to grab the brass ring." Is what he kind of said. I don't know if that's what you're referring to.
No. Someone it was basically saying that people like there's people out there that technically they do those type of things and they don't get recognition for it. It's like I gotta backtrack because I was listening to a bunch of random stuff recently, but. With that, walking on eggshells, I mean, I get it, but there's some people who can actually do it. Some people that come off natural. One of them being, in my opinion, you know, I gotta wonder what he does behind the scenes. But he might be a guy that he just knows what he's doing well enough, and maybe he turns stuff down, but maybe he just accepts everything and he hits a home run.
I think he's just a diamond in the rough. He's got some natural ability or something where he just comes off true and just, I don't know, yeah, there's just something about him where it's just like, oh yeah, I mean, that it feels like that's him, you know what I mean? And he's not playing a character, he's playing him, and he's just going with it.
It's very similar to him being Kevin Steen, but he has a different spin on it that I really like. I can't exactly tell what it is, but it's not the same kind of Kevin Steen that was in ROH. Like, there's a very tiny differences between the two. But there's this weirdness in that we've talked about, like, in some of his promos, as in where he's getting interviewed. The things he does, things he says, I love. But it's, well, I'll always compare him to CM Punk. They remind me a lot of each other.
Yeah.
I still think if Punk ever decides to come back to WWE, he needs to interrupt Kevin's. That would be a gold moment.
I like how he slows everything down and he takes that sniff and he just, I don't know, it's just natural. I'm sorry, Katie.
All right, I'll just get to my keep then.
I was about to say, what's your next?
Well, I was debating on either making this my keep or best of the week, but Kofi's hair. I put on Twitter, I said, it looks like it needs to be censored. It was a bit crooked, but it was just so hilarious. I mean, Xavier Woods always has the best hairstyles, but Kofi's hair, it was just so hilarious.
With the two braids the two braids in the back almost look like balls to go with it.
Katie, sometimes they're born that way.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I get it's supposed to be a unicorn, but
that's what they call it.
But they're hilarious. They just get funnier and funnier each week.
Wayne and I were talking about how Xavier Woods' hair at Survivor Series looked like James Brown.
Yeah, that's exactly who I thought it looked like was James
Somebody
Brown.
Somebody said Gaston from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, my God.
Well, isn't James
Brown's from Augusta.
Well, I know they weren't in Augusta, but close enough type thing.
Yeah.
the other hair he had where it was all straight and looked more like James Brown-esque.
James Brown kind of had like a couple of different hairstyles. It all depends on what era James Brown you're talking about.
Take over from your bio. Go into my house.
All right. Well, I guess we can go into Double A.
Okay. The hell do I want to do?
Nobody wants to go into there.
guys are covering. I had it all in my head. Now that one. I was glad to see Alberto bring his armbar back. I was glad to see that. I was glad to see that he missed that corner in the. I'll say keep Alberto with the armbar. I was glad to see that he missed the corner move on Roman Reigns and that he slapped that armbar on. That's just something I think he needs to do and get rid of that corner freaking garbage.
Yeah, we were discussing that on Sunday. The corner thing is just too much of a setup move, whereas most finishers are one and done, or like with the powerbomb, throw him in the ropes. Pop up, powerbomb, that's it. Whereas the corner is, all right, throw him to the corner, then flip him upside down. Now I got to get on the turnbuckle and jump, while the other guy has to pull himself up. It's too much of a setup. I like that they went to the armbar. I actually prefer the sidekick that he used against Cena.
Yeah.
It just seems more impactful. But
or an enziguri. I like when he does the enziguri.
Yeah, like you could do the enziguri, like the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
One that he does, and then the sidekick, and it's immediate snap, and that's the finisher. And since Rollins isn't there, nobody's really doing that snap sidekick.
Well, Ziggler kind of does it.
Yeah, he also does the super kick too, which I think everyone does a super kick nowadays.
Owens has a good one. I really like his.
No, he's
even still- even Dolph Ziggler, he was calling for the sweet chin music there. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny.
That was like a little bit of an homage, I think, because I think that was the Raw where Taker and Shawn Austin were there.
Was he dressed up as Nikki Six?
I think
so. Is that who it was supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
Nikki Six. Dolph Styles gotten a little rough around the edges again.
80s metal, man.
Cue heavy breathing.
Well, I'm waiting for him to come out as Kiss at one point.
My bad.
Like Gene Simmons.
If he dresses up as Gene Simmons or the Starman or the Catman or any of them, I think that would be hilarious.
Or the Kiss Demon. They already did it in WCW. Why not?
Oh, that's right. That was terrible.
He already looks like he's in Motley Crue.
I think it's that kind of thing he's into. Motley Crue or Poison. One of those bands.
Hair metal. Hair metal is so bad.
It's not that bad.
It's not as bad as a lot of country music.
And you're down in Georgia.
Exactly.
Yeah, they didn't need to attack in country music. It just seemed like they were attacking country music too much when they were in Nashville. But I mean, that's what it is.
That's the point. They're heels.
Yeah.
I know.
Nashville liked Roman Reigns. I'll give him that much.
They really did, yeah. He. I don't know if it's because... See, he's in the chase.
Atlanta role. Hated him.
Atlanta hated
Roman.
Most of the show until Taker came out.
Welcome to Georgia. Get your shit and get out.
So they really hated the New Day.
But he's Samoan, man. He's not.
He's a Samoan.
I'm gonna hit you in your simoleons.
Did you say Samoan?
I don't know what the hell I said.
Samoan.
Samoan.
Technically, Samoan in Italian. I googled it.
Samoan. Somalian. Okay. Anyway, Double A, go ahead. What's your next one?
I was thinking about doing the improve the 5-on-5 setup, but I guess that was last week. Let's toss that whole Tex-Mex commercial with Fat Albert
JBL
JBL and the bull. What the fuck was that?
He said Fat Albert.
JBL Torito.
Wait, he's like, hey, let me think about food. Ooh.
It reminds me of Mizark from when X-Pac dressed up as Mark Henry.
Hey, Rock. Don't know what you're cooking. Smell like shit. But I'll eat some anyway. Hey.
I I love it that he was smallest when he had to play the biggest guy.
He did blackface and nobody batted an eye.
The biggest takeaway from that, though, was a guy who wasn't even a part of the roster of Jason Sensation being Owen Hart.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And then he came, back like the next week or next couple weeks and did a couple spots. Oh, my God. I loved a lot of those quotes. We're going to be nose to nose. In other words, we're going to be miles apart. Sorry I'm late, but my nose got here 10 minutes ago. And he makes some sort of joke of being dressed like a school crossing, and he called himself an aardvark.
I am not a nugget.
All right, is that good to me now?
Yeah, your turn, Heavy.
I'll say the best for last. let me see. My improve, to kind of go with Katie, would be the health of wrestlers nowadays.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it's just the wrestlers, because even in football, there's a lot of injuries this year. So that's
heard of.
I don't know what it is. Maybe I've heard this before. I think it's global warming. No, I want to say I've heard that if you work out too much, some of this stuff can happen to you.
That's true. It could happen.
Well, if you look at it, athletes are stronger than they used to be too. Muscles are stronger. They're pulling more. You're cranking more on your joints and stuff.
Which is why a lot of people shouldn't be complaining about other people using things like super kick as non-finishers now.
Yeah.
Since athletes are trained better, they're better trained to protect themselves from what used to be a finishing move kind of thing.
Didn't you have this argument before?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, I was like,
athletes are better trained. That's why you can use a super kick in the middle of the match and then not finish it.
But Young Bucks still suck.
It has nothing to do with Young Bucks. Dolph Ziggler, Kevin Owens. You want me to keep going? Usos. You want me to keep going?
90% of the independent wrestlers in the world.
Anybody who has legs.
What pay-per-view was it where everybody... What was...
Great Khali never did a super kick.
Who's he gonna do a super kick?
If he could get his leg up that high sideways, then that would be funny.
Yeah, but who's he gonna super kick to?
Giant Gonzalez.
Super kick.
El Gigante.
God.
Same person. Andre the Giant. He's gonna kick Andre the Giant off the banana peel.
Andre the Giant's son still watching that. That's
nice.
Andre the Giant's son still wrestles. His name's the Big Show.
Yeah, I know. It's
Paul White.
Okay.
Paul White.
Don't kayfab me, bro.
Kayfab me.
Everything just fall down. Anyway, let me see. My keep is going to be Sheamus winning.
That was almost my keep, too.
So, there's a lot of people that were bitching about him, and I'm fine with it, personally.
I just wanted Roman to hold it longer than 30 seconds.
That's the
Sorry,
whole point.
Five
that's
minutes.
The whole, that's the whole point. And I was more pissed when they did it to Daniel Bryan than... I know right when that confetti hit what was going to happen. I mean, well, of course.
On each other either.
Plus, it ended 20 minutes early, but they normally do that. I mean, everybody was bitching about, when it ended so early, you knew what was going to happen. No, because.
Yeah, they usually end the pay-per-view about the match about 20 minutes till, and then the pay-per-view's over 15 till.
Way back when Triple H was champion for the longest fucking time, they used to do that all the fucking time, and I was so pissed because, like, what the fuck? And that's when I used to buy the pay-per-views and stuff. Like, what the fuck? I bought this, and it ends fucking 20 minutes early. That was me back in my 20s, so I was pissed. But
I remember they used to end like an hour, up to an hour early.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah.
The ending, though, was weird, though. They showed the Georgia graphic, and then they went back to the ring. I was like, is it still going on? They just showed leaving the ring.
Yeah, if they're in Georgia or Florida, they have to do a Made in Georgia thing for some reason.
I know, I just thought it was weird that then they went back on. I thought it was going right off.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. It's kind of like, almost reminded me of NXT this past week with when Eva Marie came out, because that's the spoiler that's the spoiler I read that I couldn't wait to hear people bitch about.
I was more excited to hear how loud the boos were.
That top she was wearing made her look naked.
When I read the spoilers, it talked about how nobody could hear them talk, and I just really wanted to hear that in a live setting.
Probably be like Vicky Guerrero.
I thought it was going to be honest with you.
And I've already read the spoilers for the next taping. The only thing that I will quote spoil for anybody, and I think I mentioned this in GroupMe. Blue Pants is there. So that whole thing of her having, quote, heat, and they're not going to use her is bullshit. Or just way overly exaggerated.
I guarantee you it was probably just a, hey, you work for us now, or you're working for us in our setting. You have to stay professional at certain points or whatever. It's probably some, they probably had a talk, but I don't think it was, fuck you, don't work for us anymore.
She's one of the most popular names in all of female independent wrestling. At least, I'd throw her in at least the top 10, possibly top 5. It depends on how I want to rank them. But... No, seriously, because before Blue Pants, I mean, she was high on my list, but I don't know how high she was like on everybody else's list, because I love the whole cosplay thing. I talked about her on the weekend review way before the whole Blue Pants thing, and when she finally showed up, it gave her a way to catch on to everybody, and that upped her value, like hardcore.
Yeah.
So
I'm waiting on the day that Mia Yim comes to WWE, too.
Well, at least we're not going to have to worry about, which actually should be another thing I'll throw in there, is we won't have to worry about Jessica Havoc showing up anytime soon, because I'm going to keep Sami Callihan out of WWE, out of NXT, back on the... I loved him being in WWE, but I think it just wasn't working out. If you look at the time he was signed and he finally debuted on TV, so many bigger names were signed and he just got pushed to the back. He just finally had enough, I think. So we know he asked for it. He just said, you know what, I can make more now for CZW, Dragon Gate, and Evolve. You know, get me out of this deal?
But he needs to do the hacker gimmick, man. He's going to cry.
I think he'll do better on the independents, and I'm kind of happy for him now that he's gone.
Oh, yeah. I'll never see him. That's the only thing that sucks. But I won't see him at AIW because he's banned from there. Well, owners don't like him. They don't book people they don't like. Unless it's hardcore business. I think they might have tried, but I don't 100% know. But I'm going to make some effort to actually catch him. All right, let's get into... When do we want to do emails?
We can do it after What's On.
That's what I thought. All right, we're going to get into What's On, and I won't start this time because I'm going to go start up my laptop. We will start with Biohazard.
Oh, sweet. We'll start with me again. I ended up buying the Jurassic Park collection, which comes with all 4 movies, and I've only got through the first one. I've seen them all before, but I thought it would be nice to run through all 4 of them again. Now that the 4th one's on DVD.
Yeah, I kind of went through them right when the 4th one was coming out to kind of refresh myself. When the 2nd one came out, I saw it in theaters and I thought it was horseshit. But like, even though I did laugh at the part where the guy's like, Godzilla! Godzilla! Well, I don't know if they said Godzilla, but I mean they reference it, the Asian guys running by. But rewatching it and you know how like you get a bad taste of that was shit, or when you watch something that was awesome, you know, back in the day, and you watch it and I was like, what the fuck did I like about this show? I respected it a lot more the 2nd time around, and the 3rd one is still good too. It's good. It's good to recap on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and then I'm still finishing up Avengers Assemble. It's a pretty good little series that I touched on last week. I don't know if anybody has looked it up yet, but it's pretty good. They reference Thanos a lot, which I know Heavy likes. And then I played some WWE 2K16. I'm on the Showcase stuff now with Stone Cold, and it's nice to go back to Heavy. You missed me talking about Thanos, but it's nice to go back and
repeat what you said because I'm back, motherfucker.
I told the listening audience that I watched some more Avengers Assemble, and I'm on the parts where they fought Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet. They kick his ass, by the way. Anyway.
The only matter I do not take seriously, boy, is you. Your politics bore me. Your demeanor is that of a pouty child. And apparently, you alienated my favorite daughter, Gamora. I shall honor our agreement, Kree, if you bring me the orb. But return to me again empty-handed, and I will bathe the Starways in your blood.
The fact that you know that shows how good of a fan you are.
Thanks, Dad. Sounds fair. I love that whole scene because I also kind of like Ronan, but I love Thanos a lot more. Like when I looked at Ronan, I looked fine. I'll do it myself anyway. But I look what Ronan looks like without the makeup, and he looks weird. I'm just like, I'm like, put the makeup back on. He looks much more like a badass.
Anyway, I've been giving people stunners and watching Stone Cold drink a lot of Steve Weisers.
New moves pack is out today, I believe.
Yeah, it includes like 30 new moves, and it's not worth it. But I didn't get the season pass either, so it's included in the season's pass. The only one I'm waiting for is the Future Stars pack, which includes Samoa Joe.
Are the Young Bucks in one of them?
No.
I do like that they kind of tweeted about it. I'm like... Are you trying about the Meltzer driver?
Yeah, they call it the buck bomb or something like that on the game. It's kind of funny.
That's what it was.
It's a buck driver, and I thought it was funny that I think it was Nick tweeted about it saying next time it's in the game, we'll do mocap for it so it can be done right. Something along those lines. But that's all I've really been up to all week. That and we officially have a permanent place for band practice, so we're finally going to get things rolling one more time. Well, we were using my place, and then when I switched jobs and then other members got a different job, it's been harder to practice once a week like we were doing. Mm-hmm. But now we're up to our practices. Now that we have a permanent place, we're practicing 3 times a week.
You kids keep down quiet down in there.
We're actually practicing in a garage too, so...
You really thought that was going to be funny?
It wasn't funny. We hear that. I don't think we've actually ever heard anybody tell us to turn it down. So, there's that.
Appalachian Mountain High, Mike.
What else?
That's it for me.
Katie.
I watched The Table for Three with Sheamus, Barrett, and Regal, which was cool. And it's funny considering Sheamus is champion now, looking back on it. Watched Survivor Series, Raw. I thought Survivor Series was a decent show. I know a lot of people hated it, but I thought it was good. I mean, it wasn't great, but it didn't suck for me, in my opinion. And I'm fine with Sheamus as champion because I don't, he's not going to hold it for that long. I don't see him holding it at Mania, so. I think I'm going to try to go see Creed this weekend because I think it looks cool and I'm a Rocky fan, so.
It still fucks me up when people say Creed. I think of the band.
I say the same thing. Like, oh, they're touring again?
Take me higher with arms wide open.
when people first started talking about the movie, like, I thought they were talking about something about the band. I'm like, no way, they're still fucking around. And then when you said, like, oh, I'm going to go see Creed this weekend, I'm like, really? And I'm like, oh, yeah, the fucking movie, goddammit.
Yeah. I did the same. I started to sing the You Take Me Higher song in my head. I'm like, huh, I didn't even know they'd be touring.
No. But I am going to try to see it this week, and I think it looks cool. I heard pretty good reviews on it.
There is a movie coming out I want to see. I think it comes out next Friday called Krampus.
That looks weird. So weird.
Oh, yeah. That looks weird as fuck.
There was a Krampus. It's Krampus or Krampus or however you want to pronounce it. Yeah, there's a American Dad episode dedicated to the story of it. But it's not that creepy. The movie looks creepy as hell, and that I got excited, so I want to go see that.
I know my niece is going to see it. She likes all that horror crap.
Yeah, I'm going to take my nephew to go see it.
Yeah, I don't like scary movies like that.
I normally don't, but after playing Five Nights at Freddy's all year and now playing The Boogeyman, I want to go see the scary movie.
It reminds me of Ernest Saves Christmas. They had the guy they wanted to be Santa. He ends up shaving his beard off, and he was in some movie called Santa Claus, or I can't. But it was like a horror movie. That's what it kind of reminds me of.
Yeah, yeah, because Black Christmas was such a great idea. Even though that is a remake, I believe.
What about the Goldberg movie, Santa's Sleigh?
Santa Claus. What was the one with Hulk Hogan?
I don't know. Santa, it sucked. It doesn't matter anyway.
Anyway, go ahead. Continue, Katie.
And there's Santa's little helper.
Yeah, that's awful.
I'm actually going to download it and watch it.
I'm curious to see, because Paige actually looks funny in it. She looks like she could be a funny character in it. Because I never watched any of the Mrs. movies, so I might just
I think that was before the push-up brawl, too, so I'd be interested to see.
But you watched all the CM Punk movies, didn't you?
It's not filmed yet.
I was going to say he's not in the movies, so yeah.
Well, not yet. He's going to be in one.
What movie is he going to be in?
It's a movie him and AJ are doing. Bio should know this, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do they have their clothes on or off?
It's like a horror movie, monster movie called Hellstorm.
Yeah. AJ has a book coming out, too. Are you getting that?
Yeah, I gotta wait a whole nother year, though. It won't come out till 2017. She's got an interesting story. I mean, she grew up pretty poor. She lived in hotels, I mean.
Okay, here's the biggest problem I have with that book. The description for it says that she went from a, like nerdy little girl or whatever to a sex symbol, and I was like, okay.
That threw me for a loop. I said, she never called herself a sex symbol.
That's why I was like, okay, calm down. Just because there's millions of men that want to jerk off to you or do jerk off to you, that's like any woman in your position. So technically...
Didn't she have a couple of stalkers or something, though, too?
A lot of them get stalkers, too. This is going to be my point.
Yeah.
Well, it was their description that they write. They're trying to get people interested, so...
They can't put, she grew up a nerdy little girl and grew up to grew up to a trophy wife or something like that. They got to make it sound like some sort of glamorous way, so they go sex symbol.
Sex symbol.
I guess it's the title, though. Crazy is my superpower. It fits what she did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
All right. Andy, make it quick.
if I'll even be on next time. I listened to Ric Flair, his podcast, and it was kind of cool because they talked about the whole Charlotte deal. And he kind of said that, he doesn't want to say his whole comments because he doesn't want to... He says basically it was a Vince deal. It was a Vince call. Charlotte didn't say no because she felt like, or this is him speculating that she had no way to not turn it down. If she would have turned it down, she would have lost the spotlight that she's in. He wasn't informed of it. He never got a call. Even when he did the podcast, he never got a call from anyone about it. And he wasn't too happy about it, but he said that's not going to stop him from going to the Survivor Series or anything else. But drunk too, because I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to go into my personal stuff, but I mean, that's hard. I'm not expecting anybody to call him and let him know what's going on either. But it was just interesting to hear his story, how he said it, how he sounded when he talked about it. If you ever have time, check it out, because it's very interesting.
The only thing about that whole thing is that WWE kind of released a statement that it made it sound like it was they basically made it sound like it was her call. Like I don't believe that whole Vince thing.
Yeah, but I mean, you know how you can word it saying, hey, let's do this, but it's your call, you want to do it or not. And she said, okay, yeah, that wording it, okay, your call, are we gonna do this or not, can make it okay, that's her call, she did it, and then they can say that.
The thing is that they screwed up on it. Like, I have no problem with them saying it's whatever. That's all on the people who actually knew him. But they didn't build off the animosity that the payoff for. When Raw ended, even though I didn't get to watch it, just hearing everything, they were fighting. Then why did we start the pay-per-view match off with, like, headlocks and all that kind of stuff? Why did it start off normal? Yeah, why did Charlotte come out smiling? How that should have started. Paige should have came out first, and like halfway through her entrance, Charlotte just comes out and just starts beating her. I'm
granted, the crap out of her and being all pissed. Yeah.
Yeah, well, like get the match started early type thing.
Yeah, like start running out before even entrance even. Yeah.
Yeah, I think my problem is whoever booked that match, as in like whoever the agent was.
Well, if you remember Survivor Series, the package they played beforehand, they didn't even reference what about the dead brother. What they're trying to do is just push it to the background.
Well, they mentioned her dad. They're making it focus like she's attacking her dad now.
Yeah.
The Raw match I liked. I mean, it ended in a double countout, and it got more vicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, our favorite news article person, Dave Meltzer, said he speculates they're going to go with the table match for TLC, but it's something I highly doubt.
No, I've heard people say the same thing, but I think it might be a different kind of table match because, we keep doing the fucking finishers over a table, and somehow that makes it more dangerous.
Well, yeah, doing a submission move like that hurts her more.
Yeah.
Yeah, that made no sense at all.
Yeah, so I don't think it's going to be your traditional tables match.
Do we think Sasha will be a part of this? Because she sort of got, and they hinted at that she might want a shot at the title.
Not yet.
Well, it is in Boston. That's her hometown. I mean, it'd be bad if they don't have her on the show at all. And knowing how that crowd is.
Bad.
I like what you did there, yeah.
I mean, they'll probably have Cena back by then, geez. Too, but they'll boo him anyway.
Yeah, he's supposed to be back by the end of the year. I don't know if they'll do it before TLC or not.
His first advertised show is the SmackDown Raw, or the SmackDown live show on USA Network. SmackDown Raw. I meant SmackDown Live, but whatever. Same thing.
SmackDown Raw.
Will it be live when it goes on the USA Network, the first show? It's going to be live?
That's what I read.
Well, cool. Wouldn't surprise me.
Is it still going to be on Thursdays, or is it going to be Tuesday?
I don't know. You want me to pull up the article?
No, I think it'll be Thursday. I think just because it's the first show on the USA, it'll do it live to get people to watch.
I wonder why don't they just do, like, have Tuesday and Wednesday be your off day instead of... What's the schedule like now?
They're off Wednesday, Thursday.
They work Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, which doing Sunday, Monday, Tuesday really helps with cost production simply because of Raw and SmackDown. If they're back-to-back, they only really have the trailers running 2 days for the major sets.
I think they work Wednesdays, though, during the Christmas week, so they could tape 2 weeks worth of shows.
Yeah, I remember one year they double-shotted Raw and SmackDown.
Oh, yeah, they did it, like, back-to-back.
They did Raw, they taped SmackDown. Tuesday, they did the next Raw and SmackDown, and then they're off Wednesday through the following week or something.
That's a double treat for the audience.
That'd be a long show, but then I bet you there's a lot of recap
backstage
stuff on. Yeah, a lot of recap, backstage stuff for SmackDown.
And plus, they taped Tribute to the Troops, too, I think, the week prior.
Yeah.
All right, Andy, what else you got?
Okay, and then I watched the Undertaker Part 4 thing, or Part 4, Part 2. That was good, too. If you ever get a chance to check that out, watch it back-to-back. It was good.
What, you mean the Legends with JBL?
Yeah.
I was like, the Undertaker Part 2, what was Part 1?
Yeah, the Legends Part 1 and 2. And then it'd be interesting to see what they're going to do with the Stone Cold deal. Sounds like they're going to have it recorded now. It's not going to be live, so I don't know about that.
Well, yeah, the promos they showed Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair, it looks like he already did the interviews, and they just got to air it on the network.
Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of makes me sad, but at the same time, it's like it makes a little sense.
Well,
that way they're not
Flair.
they can cut stuff off when they need to.
I wonder what the Edge and Christian show will be like.
Oh.
Yeah, they use clips, or at least the clips that I saw were from when they did their show before.
Yeah, for the SmackDown thing.
Yeah.
So, and then
maybe
I watched some
people.
Yeah, I don't know. And I watched Big Bang Theory and stuff, but that's about it.
So where are you at in the show?
I think I'm season 2 now.
So you haven't got to the part where Sheldon gets a girlfriend?
No, I already know that, but no, I haven't gotten there yet. Blossom.
No, it's Amy Farrah. Her name is Amy Farrah Fowler.
Yeah, Amy Farrah Fowler. Whatever happened to Blossom's best friend? I always thought she was really hot.
You have this thing called Google. Instead of looking up porn, just look it up.
Yeah, I know.
Porn makes up 90% of the internet.
I just tried to make a conversation is all.
What the heck? I know roughly what it is.
It starts with like cat or something is in my head, but I don't
sounds like sticks.
Ooh, I think you're right with that. Yeah.
It's a weird name.
Six. If her name was Six.
Six. There we go. Six. There's a number.
Six.
Whoa.
All right. Is that everything for you?
Yeah, we're good.
All right. On to me. I listened to majority of the two episodes of Buff Bagwell on the Stone Cold podcast from like a little bit, not that long ago. End of last month, obviously. Where am I? The normal shows that I've listened to. Caught up on my PTI. I actually listened to one episode of the Spanish Announce Table last week because I wanted to hear T-Mac talk about Ronda Rousey. That's the only reason why I listened to the episode, because I was listening to someone else talk about the fight, just because it was like a run over between two podcasts, because I listened to the Wrestling Reality on Trib Live Radio, and right after that they do a MMA talk. And while I was driving, the podcast ended and it went to the MMA one. And I was like, oh, whatever. It's still hosted by Justin the Bar, and they said they were going to talk about Rousey first. So I listened to everything that they said. I was like, oh, I'm going to, like, later I was like, oh, I'm going to listen to Spanish Announce Table just to hear what D-Mac had to say about it. So that was fun. And I do think it was funny. I've not listened to that show in like 2 months. And T-Mac mentioned my name. And I'm just like, dude, like, I haven't listened to the show in 2 months and you mentioned me. And then I gave him the answer that he wanted, kind of. There is a German wrestler in NXT right now. And I was like, Alex Wright was German, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have many big name wrestlers. What else did I listen to? I caught up on my normal weekly shows, like The Muppets, Family Guy, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I thought I caught up actually watching a show. I downloaded a whole bunch. Stuff that I have to catch up on is crazy. I got to catch up on Big Bang Theory, The League. I still got like 2 seasons of Total Divas to catch up on, and Doctor Who. But I might hold off on Doctor Who. I'm going to watch it this week. If I don't watch it this week, I'm going to wait like 2 more weeks. Because the end of the season is coming up, and there's like a 3-part episode that's going to end it. This week was the first of 3. So I'm like, I might hold off. I went to a live podcast recording, which was kind of fun, for my friend's basketball podcast. Had my car stolen, which sucked, but I did get it back. But just waking up, letting my dog out, I was like, oh, you know, it's kind of cold. You know, let's warm up the car so I can go into a nice toasty car, even because this is the first time I've ever did that. And I was just kind of like, I hope nobody steals it. Nah, but I'm like, it's never happened. And first thing, it was out on the road, and it was right in front of the house, and I could see it from the living room. But I went upstairs to my room, came back down, and I looked out the window, and it was fucking gone. I was like,
oh, it won't get stolen, is when it gets stolen.
That's what happened to me. I even thought that too when it happened to me too. So it's like, but I mean, I've done it many times, but yeah, that's just funny how you said, yeah, I've never done it before. I'm like, oh shit. Usually it's like the second, third time or something, but never on the first time.
Yeah. So let me see. I think that's pretty, I did get the car back. Everything's fine. They just stole $5 a quarters out of my car that I have saved just for whenever I have to get on the turnpike. I spend no more than a dollar there. I just have it, so because the least amount I spent is 50 cents. I know I've watched some other stuff, but I can't think of what. Downloaded a whole bunch of music. Actually, that's one thing that I did. I'm not afraid to admit, I downloaded the new Adele album. I downloaded just a bunch of stuff to fill up my phone. And I didn't realize she actually came out the full album, but the Lady Gaga, Tony Bennett album called Cheek to Cheek, which if you listen to Anything Goes, that's where the intro comes from. It's actually the first song on the album. I love that song. But that's pretty much it for me. And since I'm here, I'm actually in my room. I'm on my laptop. I can pull up a spreadsheet. The brand new spreadsheet, because somebody got annoying.
Hashtag Andy sucks dick.
That hashtag might never go away.
You're welcome, Andy.
Yeah.
But one thing I'm actually working on this new spreadsheet with is working on formulas. Something that I haven't done spreadsheets since like high school, when I actually was taught a lot of stuff about spreadsheets and how to add in formulas so it just does all the math for you. And I have this page, even though it's already done. I need to get the NXT one ready so it's less work. Now it's all set up to where you change the totals on the bottom of the screen It'll readjust everything. So this is like an NXT pay-per-view for picks because we didn't do the tag team match. So there was only 1, 2, 5, technically 6 to pick. That's it. And coming in, we had Mop at 99, AA at 98, DRG at 97, Biohazard at 95, myself at 84, and Katie at 68. Katie and Mop and Andy all got perfect. Katie got the highest score with bets because she took a page out of my book and put +5 on every single matchup. So her going perfect gave her 36 for Survivor Series. Mop didn't bet anything, so he only got 6 right. 6 points. That's it. Said he didn't feel confident on any other match, so that's why he didn't bet. And Andy got 32, and he also put the +1 on the cash-in. See, I got all mine right except for Kevin Owens. That put me at 25. Also at 25 was DRG. He got... Only one he got wrong was a Dolphin. He didn't even bet on it. So, and like I said, Mop, yeah, got perfect in the 6. Oh, we gotta get the bio. Such crazy on your bets. He put 2 on Reigns joining the Authority. Didn't happen. He put 3 on Dolph Ziggler. Actually, if I'm correct, bio, the 2 matches you didn't put bets on were the ones you got wrong. So
yeah, one was Wyatt's. He didn't put a bet on. I'm not sure the other one they got wrong.
Dolph.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he didn't put a +5 on, I should say. He put a +3 on it, which was wrong. So now with the new totals, we have Andy at 110. We have Mop at – no, I'm just kidding. Wait, I'm going to say something. We have Double A at 130, DRG at 132, Biohazard at 114, Mop at 105, Katie at 104. Oh, and I missed me in the realm of things. I'm at 109. So Mop went from first to last, just like that.
The guy that likes to bet.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see how NXT goes. Which, Bio, what did you say that you were going to do by the end of the year? Because we have one more left.
Third. God damn it. I didn't mean to do that.
Well, I don't know where Bio is because he's being really quiet. He must be muted or he walked away.
Sorry. I said I would be at least third.
At least third, so you are...
I'm in third now.
In third now, ooh. So you got to keep a hold of that.
We have 2 shows before the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. What a kind of TLC.
Takeover and TLC.
Oh, we have Fastlane. Andy said we have Fastlane. Which is in February.
I think he thought before WrestleMania, and I meant December.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, because we definitely have one more than one before the end of the calendar that we're doing.
Last year I finished in third, and I started off at Survivor Series, so my first picks thing was TLC, and I came in third, so that should tell you something. I got this. I'm only, 10 points behind anyway, so...
Only 10? No, 16.
10, 16. Doesn't matter. I'll be up there soon.
Well, if Andy wouldn't have been a chicken.
He would have.
Well, the last time you guys...
You could have ended at 140.
Yeah.
I bet this time. I was thinking who was in the matches and who needed the victories the most.
Well, you were perfect. So was Mop. So was Andy.
Almost.
What'd you say, Andy?
Well, almost perfect.
No. How are you not perfect? How are they not perfect?
You're right.
I would have been perfect I would have been perfect if I would have kept with my Undertaker thing.
Was anybody surprised that they won?
No.
What do you think of his entrance? Did you like his entrance?
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
I love they kept going back to it, and every time you saw the American Badass one most times.
What do they do with it? I haven't watched it.
They had they had 6 columns on either side. They had they had flames on the top of it, and every time the gong would go off, the flames would get higher like normal. They had a coffin in the center of the Titantron that went through the different incarnations of the Undertaker.
Okay, I'm gonna have to rewatch it.
And then they did. They had the laser lights. The spread lights, like they did it one time with Undertaker before. They had it set up behind him, so where he was walking. So when he walked into it, it cut off it blocked off some of the lights, so it looked like there was an aura behind him too. It was pretty cool.
I heard people talking about that was the second best one ever. I don't know what the first one was, but
I really liked the WrestleMania 30 one was really good. Although his outfit was horrendous.
Well, there was the dark versus light one that was kind of cool, too.
I don't know. His entrance hasn't really stuck out to me in a very long time.
No, another one I liked, who the hell did he... I think it was when he fought CM Punk, when they had the guys clawing at his feet.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
I like that one.
I like WrestleMania 14, because they show that one constantly where he's wearing the big cape coming out.
You didn't like WrestleMania 9 where he came out on the
The chariot.
No, his greatest entrance was SummerSlam 92. He came on the back of a hearse because that was a long entranceway. And
each entrance in that show was special just because they were in London and at Wembley.
The Legion of Doom was an awesome one because they came on the motorcycles. I remember other ones that were like that seemed like special. Oh, British Bulldog, because he had Lennox Lewis with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, was it. Everybody else was kind of normal.
It's just a really long entrance way.
Doy, fuck yeah. Warrior ran out.
I think he almost tripped getting up that stair, too.
I got to rewatch SummerSlam 19. It's been forever. That's like the first VHS I think I ever bought, and I used to wear the shit out of it. And I actually got pissed when I got on YouTube years later to find out there are two matches that were cut from the VHS. And I was like, what the fuck?
You're like, God damn it.
All right. Is there anything else we want to talk about the pay-per-view?
Nobody liked the Divas match, which I thought was a good match. Well, the crowd sat on their hands pretty much most of the whole show.
I've heard mixed reviews on it. I've heard people say it was horrible, then I've heard people say it was great, and I've heard people say it was okay.
I thought it was all right. It wasn't the worst Divas match I've seen, but...
The crowd took a lot out of it, and the crowd responding to it made it seem like it was a dull match, and it wasn't.
They kind of sat on their hands up until Undertaker match.
Which I don't really blame them, it's The Undertaker, but still.
I think the pay-per-view overall, with it being built as The Undertaker's 25th anniversary, and they built the entire thing around The Undertaker, for The Undertaker match to not feel that special is what threw me off.
That was pretty much a showcase type of match. They're going to go in there, they're going to beat them, have a little good spots here and there, and they're going to come in and celebrate.
Yeah, but it's just the match just came off like a normal tag team match. It didn't come off like, oh my God, here's The Undertaker. He's been here 25 years, and his brother Kane has been here 19 years, and it just, something about the match just was off.
Would it have been better if it was a Survivor Series traditional match like we thought it was going
to
be?
I think it would have been more entertaining because there would have at least been a build to it.
Mm.
Where like the other Survivor Series matches just were kind of thrown together.
Yeah.
And we literally used them as piss breaks because we didn't care who won and who lost.
And Goldust came back and it was on the pre-show.
And that was another thing. If they would have, for the first match, if they would have done a clean sweep and not eliminate Neville right off the bat, it made them seem like, oh, Neville needs to get pinned here. Neville did something wrong, or he was the only one that took a pin. And if they were going to have a Goldust return, they should have done that on the actual show, not the pre-show.
Well, they should have
Up. Mad that Ryback's team won.
They shouldn't have. Well, they should have built up the tag match in general.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They didn't announce anybody until we saw the show.
I mean, it might have been because of Seth Rollins.
Cesaro. Well, Cesaro got injured too, and he was supposed to be in the pre-show match.
But I'm saying. Seth Rollins, because they probably had plans to actually announce something, but with the tournament, they're like, well, we're not going to announce this person's going to be in a pay-per-view match if we're going to use him for this. But they were scrambling to figure everything out. I still think the Wyatt match, Wyatt Taker match, should have been a Survivor Series match. You should have gotten two more people. And it's one of those things that if I were to change just recent WWE history, I would say for the past year, we keep the Ascension down in NXT, and this is when you bring them up.
Yeah, that would have been good.
But there's right now with... I mean, granted, there was Stardust, and they make a lot of sense, but I think that rub from The Undertaker and Kane would have been awesome. And it would really need it right now.
Was anybody surprised at the choice of who he picked to face him?
I was surprised at the Luke Harper part, because I thought on SmackDown he did say Braun Strowman.
It could have been that just said that's just to throw him off, because Rowan came in and you thought he was going to do it, but they took him out and he disappeared.
Yeah. Now, I think the only thing is, like, Bray Wyatt and Luke Harper were a tag team in NXT before they brought Rowan along.
Oh, that's one thing that I don't think I got to finish was Luke Harper on Jericho's podcast.
I haven't listened to that yet, but that's one I'm probably going to go out of my way to listen to.
The thing that I find the funniest about it, and I'm trying to find somebody I can share this thought with. Sadly, it's going to be none of you guys. But there's a local comedian who I always think kind of looks like Luke Harper. Shorter version, but he's like has the like dark, long hair, longish hair sometimes, but he always has a beard. I've never really heard Luke Harper speak. They sound a lot alike. And that's because I was listening to Luke Harper, I'm like, he kind of reminds me of somebody. And then I thought of him, I'm like, oh my God, he reminds me of that one dude. So like I said, I can't really, I just got to...
Like my friend that I tagged we're going to do the White Family. He looks like a little like Luke Harper, too.
But does he sound like him? That was the key. Because I've always thought...
I don't know. I haven't listened to the podcast yet.
That's true. Because I was just like, that does kind of sound like him. I'm trying not to put the thought into my head because I think they look alike, but I'm like, they kind of sound alike, too. Holy shit, that's weird.
He's got crazy eyes like Luke Harper.
Did I say that?
He's a maniac.
No, but I was asking. Does he have crazy eyes like Luke Harper?
It's not what I said, though.
I know. I was just asking. I didn't say you said that.
I said what he had to like him, didn't I?
Anyway.
Okay. I didn't hear. Oh, yeah.
Let's get into the email segment.
Yay, emails are back.
Right. Start with the one that's not... our regular emailer that was not an emailer.
Our regular emailer? We just bring it back? We already have a regular emailer?
Okay. This is the Smoking Druid. It says, look. So I'm listening to Taz's podcast, and the question of the day is...
You're listening to Taz's radio show. He doesn't like the word podcast.
Don't kill the messenger.
I'm joking because he has said that before, but it's still a podcast.
His podcast.
Right here in the studio.
Apartment.
Apartment studio.
Anyway, continue with this email.
So I'm listening to Taz's podcast, and the question of the day is Roman over? I know a lot of the IWC say Roman's not over, he's not ready to be champ, he can't talk on the mic, which, by the way, neither can Brock. So what's your opinions? Is Roman over? Does he deserve to be champ? And what's your reason for your opinion on this? And this is Ben Graham M. the Third. See ya, except for my iPhone.
All right, I think...
So is Roman Reigns over?
Just getting to answering that. I think he is over. Not the way we're expecting. He's still talked about, he's still a big deal, and you're not going to see him go anywhere. He's definitely over, but not hardcore over, like with a lot of fans. But is he ready? No, he's not ready. But who is ever ready for that? I agree with, who was it, Triple H said it? Or Vince had said it? I think it was Triple H. Like, you're never really ready for it. That's what I feel about Roman.
Yeah.
I don't think Edge was ready when he held it. But it's proving yourself. Or proving to yourself.
You're right, Heavy, because that was the question that was brought up too. They were actually talking about Roman Reigns at that time. Is he ready to be in the main event at WrestleMania? And that's when he said, are you ever really ready, or who's ready? Were you ready when you main evented? I mean, that was what he was, you're right.
Like, I even look back at it, like, I love Shawn Michaels, and I love Bret Hart. But when Bret beat Flair, and Shawn beat Bret, those first times they both had their title reign, did they really seem ready? I don't think so. But it's the story that they told.
Yeah, I think the thing is, like we all said, no one's really ready when they first win the world title.
No.
Is he over? It's a double-sided sword. Yes, he's over, but you have to define what you mean by over. Is he over in the company? Yes. Obviously, he's getting the big push. Is he over with the fans? Depends on how you look at it.
I think he's over with enough fans to where he's not Heath Slater, to where he's not Jack. He's not Jack Swagger.
Yes. Obviously, his t-shirts are selling.
Not as quick as Kevin Owens shirts. Just saying.
That's because Heavyset's not buying all of his shirts.
I do not own a single Roman Reigns shirt, even though, what was it, I joked around about buying?
I can, I will.
I can, I will. But other than that, Roman Reigns is like Alberto Del Rio and Randy Orton. Every time they come out of the shirt, I look at it and just go, I don't really want it.
that new one's pretty cool, though.
I got to double check.
Yeah, the Roman, it's the Roman Empire. I thought that one was, it's better than the recent ones.
It's got spears or something going through it, and then on the back it says, spare no one, spear everyone.
Yeah.
So, Katie?
Roman Reigns, I think he's more over than what he was. I think people are slowly gravitating more towards him now. And whether or not he does win the title at WrestleMania coming up again, I do think he's more ready this go around than he was the first time, or at least that level when he is at WrestleMania.
I can agree with that.
Because I think in his documentary, he said in his heart he wasn't ready. He felt he wasn't ready at that time. I think it's a year later, I think he'll feel more ready now.
All right, next email.
Thank you, Grand M the Third, for that email there.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay. All right. We got Tata, and he says, "Hey yo, howdy peeps. It's been a while, hasn't it? I still remember the day I last emailed like it was yesterday. And how about the email I sent back trash talking he who must not be named?" A great time. Anyway, my old gimmick, this is where I think you're fucking with me. Anyway, my old gimmick, and it's like shuzbizfernum. because I fuck shit up.
It's shenabitsfernum.
What the hell is that?
Just keep going.
Old this here podcast was to give you a lesson in history. I'm not here to do that, as that seems to be Phil White's new stick. And to be honest, it's kind of annoying. So let me be the first to say, fuck the history, fuck everything about the past, including all part-timers. God, he's got it going on this again. I like the fucking Undertaker. I'm ready, willing, and able to look toward the future, so I apologize. Moving on, I want to throw out my keep toss and approve for this week. Wait a minute, he gets to do three?
just read.
It's an email. I got it.
I'm just all right. Keep everything New Day. Their 1 year anniversary segment may be one of the greatest WWE segments I've ever seen. Do we keep going or do we comment?
Agreed.
I like the segment. I didn't like the whole deal with the Lucha guys talking. I don't know. It's just.
Yeah, I thought Sin Cara was supposed to strictly speak Spanish, and then Kalisto would be the one speaking English. Or Spanish.
I didn't know any of them spoke English.
I thought Sin Cara was just supposed to point.
I would have bet that would have been funny if he would have said, "Indeed."
Indeed. These nuts. My
God, you're fucking too young to even fucking know that.
Like I said before the show, Kai and I need to have a show called The Young Bucks.
Who did that all the time? That Japanese guy that was his deal. Like they would say
Funaki.
Anyway, he would like talk like.
You mean Kung Fu Naki?
I get it. Anyway, okay, so are we done with this keep?
Continue.
Okay. Toss. Alberto Del Rio, Zeb Coulter, and Mex America. This whole thing is a complete flop, and to see what Alberto is doing now, it feels like he never left. It feels like he's lost his passion, and I cannot believe that this is the same guy I watched light up. It's the same guy I watched light it up in Lucha Underground, AAA, and ROH. Toss. Okay, improve. Sheamus. Now, I've said I'm high on Sheamus. I usually get high on other things, not Sheamus. I'm high on Sheamus, and I'm glad he won the title, but I really want him to really be a corporate man. I want him to come out in fancy suits, even though his look makes you think he wouldn't wear suits. I'd also want him to keep Barrett and Rusev and the authorities as the authority's muscles, that they're there to protect the champ. So exciting that you guys want me to be a part of the picks next year. Can't friggin' wait. Yeah, I'll probably kick everybody's ass. Loving the show and keep doing what you're doing. Cata out. P.S. Oops, wrong show.
I like the history stuff. He just kept doing stuff about people that are dead.
No,
like four weddings and a funeral.
You'd get those weeks that he just gave us kind of like all bad news, and maybe the birthday he mentioned was someone who's dead.
He died. Like, depressing.
I just remember the one time it was like someone died in their own vomit. I'm like, really? So, but I agree with him. I think that's Phil White's gimmick or snick, and I think it's kind of annoying. And that's coming from me, who's really annoying. So
good email though. Keep sending them in.
Yeah.
Thank you, Cata.
Welcome
back. Thank you, Cata.
I mean, Cata.
Welcome back. He's the Kata.
So hey, can I do one more thing? When we were talking about the Survivor Series, did anybody like the change of Tyler Breeze's finish? I'm surprised they didn't call it the Unprettier, because it seemed like it would fit. But
they did call it the Unprettier.
Did they? Okay, I thought the Impaler or something, or the Inverter or something. I thought they said, but yeah, I like it.
When he originally did the move, they just said, "Oh, he face planted Ziggler." It was something stupid, and then he turned around and said it was the Unprettier. Yeah. He's like, he used the Unprettier. Yeah.
Okay, I missed that then, but yeah. I mean that it fits his gimmick, and I don't know if Christian has to sign off on it or what, but that's good.
But the fact that they called it the Kill Switch for the last, I don't know, 5-6 years doesn't ring a bell either.
Yeah, I guess.
It hasn't been called the Unprettier in WWE since he left for TNA.
Okay. What did he call it in TNA?
The Unprettier.
He did too. Okay.
It was when he came back to WWE, they called it the Kill Switch.
Yeah.
Because he had that whole gimmick, hit the switch t-shirt and stuff, so.
Yeah. You want to talk about bad t-shirts?
Well, that shirt, he seemed like he had it on forever.
I think that was the only shirt he had when he came back.
He didn't have a One More Match shirt.
Did he?
I thought he did. Or he just kept saying it or something. That should have been, they should have changed the name of the move to One More Move.
They had the C Element t-shirt where it had the element symbol on it with the C.
The Charisma shirt.
Yeah.
I guess somebody owes somebody a beer.
Yeah, I owe you a beer.
Oh.
A rip beer.
At least I'm old enough to drink one if I wanted to.
So, yeah, old Kai. Enough to vote doesn't mean I vote.
All right, next email.
That's it.
That was it.
I thought
we only got two this week.
I thought you said something about DRG.
I never said anything about DRG.
Pre-show, I thought you mentioned something.
Nope.
Andy did. He said DRG. I thought he had a thing for DRG. I guess not.
No, he was saying there's too many.
How they can, how the Grand M the Third, and then all the different people. I was confused. Back in the day, I confused everybody because they all sounded the same.
What's next? News?
No more news.
So that gets into our best of the week. What do you got, Bio?
The New Day. End of story.
God bless you.
What do you got, Andy?
Well, fucker. I'm going to go hitting 100%, even picking the cash in. That was cool.
You should have bet 5 like I told you.
Well, I'm fine with just betting 1.
You could have put 5 on Roman winning, too, but you didn't.
I could have. I seen it going either way. I didn't know if there was going to be a turn there somewhere. You know, if everybody kept saying that. Yeah, but I didn't know. Everybody kept saying that Dean was going to turn, and that whole, I can't remember what pay-per-view it was where we thought that Dean was going to, everybody thought he won, and then was like, holy fuck, holy
Money
shit.
Bank.
Is that what it was? And there was a bunch of swerves that pay-per-view. I don't think anybody got hardly anything right.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, that was a great pay-per-view, I thought. What the hell was going on?
Bio doesn't know how to put his phone on complete silent.
Buzz.
Sorry, running all these email accounts has got my phone going off.
Hey, you know what? Can you like keep your vibrator away until we get off the show, please?
I can't, Double A. Your nickels excite me.
I wouldn't say anything too much battery size name.
Yeah, you got your old quarters that got taken. I would have used it for something else, you know, like beside the package instead of, because we don't have toll booths here. But anyway, the hell are we doing? Oh, best of the week. Yeah, I'm done.
So Katie,
my real best of the week is Double A reading emails.
I still don't get what I fucked up.
I don't know what I'm naming the show, but I do know it has something to do with you reading emails.
Andy tries to read.
That's all I know.
Andy learns to read.
When I read to them.
That's because you read on the same level as them.
I'm reading from a computer screen is hard, so go fuck yourself.
Oh, I don't do that every week on NFL Easy Picks and Change Jobs Network.
This is the first time I've done it, and I suck at reading. I told you that. That's fine.
That's why you're doing the reading.
Thank you. I did a good job.
Can I go now?
Yeah, I love you.
Can I finish?
My best of the week is Roman Spear and Triple H. And although the crowd in Atlanta was pretty dead throughout the show, other than The Undertaker, I think they popped pretty huge when he did that, especially through all the confetti and stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool moment.
Yeah. I liked his teary face right at the end after he got fucked over.
Like
that
he was
a cool moment, too. Yeah.
I was like, for once, Charlotte's not crying. Not the only one going to cry.
I mean, that was great acting. That was a hell of a job.
Yeah, he sold it pretty well, being bummed that he lost after winning it like for like 5 minutes.
So, that's on to me. My best of the week.
Getting your car back.
I'm not going to really consider that because that would go with my low of the week.
Oh, sorry. I know, that sucked.
I'd kind of say going to the live podcast. That was kind of fun. Thing that I think I mentioned on the show last week was my friend that absolutely hates Triple H. And I showed up with my Triple H shirt on, and I got a few reactions out of him because of it. It was fun.
He gave you a dirty look.
You mentioned, actually, if you go to his the part of one of the live podcasts is up, the Chris Clem Cavs cast, whenever he actually goes to that part of the episode, I get mentioned, and he's like, because I'm also the only person there wearing brown stuff. A lot of people there are wearing their Cavs stuff because of the show and whatnot. And I'm just like, to me, I always wear my football stuff until playoffs or the season's completely over, as in the Super Bowl's over. And then I'll start wearing some basketball stuff. So, you know, I'm in Cleveland. I'm going to wear my brown stuff. Plus, my Cavs hat's like buried somewhere. I forget where I did with it. It's put away. So I wasn't going to wear it. So I wear that, and then I wear the Triple H shirt under it, but after he, like, calls me out on it, he mentions, like, that I wore a Triple H shirt just to antagonize him, and that's the only reason why I bought that shirt. So,
do you have your Johnny jersey, or what jersey was it?
I was wearing a Triple H shirt.
Oh, yeah, but I thought you said you had it underneath your jersey.
I didn't say jersey.
Oh, I heard. I hear wrong. I don't. That's what I thought I heard.
You do that a lot.
I know.
You hear wrong and you read wrong.
I said I had my brown stuff on. I think I might have been the one I used. I was wearing just a brown hoodie.
Oh, hoodie. That's what I heard. Okay, gotcha. I heard when you said under, I thought you said Brown's jersey is what I heard when you said brown hoodie. So, okay, gotcha. So I'm not totally crazy.
Hoodie, jersey.
Same thing.
No. They sound kind of alike, but I don't think they sound nearly as alike as you could get them mixed up. Katie, how often have you taken a trip down the new hoodie?
What?
He's making fun of me because I thought I heard him say jersey when he said hoodie.
New hoodie.
New hoodie. How about Hoodie City?
Hoodie. Lordy.
I don't even know what Jersey City is.
I don't know if that's New York or New Jersey. Katie, what is that?
Oh, you're talking... Never mind.
Jersey City's in Jersey.
I had a Double A moment. Leave me alone.
For some reason, my head went Jersey City. Oh, that's a store where you can buy jerseys.
Everybody likes the show Hoodie Shore.
That was a good show, actually.
I never watched.
All right, that'll do it for us here this week. You can find me on Twitter at HeavySet330. Bio, where can we find you and the show?
You can find me at Biohazard_FTV. You can find the show on Twitter at Wrasslecast. You can find us on Facebook. Just search Wrasslecast because we don't have a URL for it yet. And you can send us an email if you want, wrasslecast@gmail.com.
All right, Andy.
I'm on my way to go eat at Hoodie Grill and go watch the great show, Hoodie Boys.
All right, Katie.
Katie has disappeared.
She'd drop off the call at the end of the show.
Yeah.
All right, you can find her at Katie First Lady. If you want to know what it is, go to the last episode, too. But that will do it for us here on the show. We will see you next week.
Bye. Have a happy Thanksgiving, guys.
This song is called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I call the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago, it was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving, when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant, she lives in the church nearby the restaurant, in the bell tower, with her husband Ray and Facha the dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there, and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving. And we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before. And with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one till we came to a side road. And off the side of the side road was another 15-foot cliff. And at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage. And we decided that one big pile is better than two little piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. He said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage, and wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie, cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." After speaking over for about 45 minutes on the telephone, we finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said that we had to go down and pick up the garbage and also had to go down and speak to him at the police officer station. So we got in the red VW microbus with the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that Obi could have done at the police station, and the first was that he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. Another thing was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted upon, and we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, Obi, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on. He said, shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car, and that's what we did. Sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this happened. Here they got three stop signs, two police officers and one police car. But when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in a newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment that they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster, tire track, footprints, dog smelling prints, and they took 27 8x10 color glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. Took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, and southwest corner, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. After the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obi said he was gonna put us in the cell. Said, kid, I'm gonna put you in the cell. I want your wallet and your belt. And I said, Obi, I can understand you want my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell, but what do you want my belt for? And it said, kid, we don't want any hangings. Said, Obi, did you think I was gonna hang myself for littering? Obi said he was making sure, and friends, Obi was, because he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. And he took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll, and have an escape. Obi was making sure, and it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? It's a song about Alice. Alice came by and with a few nasty words to Obi on the side, bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, and didn't get up until the next morning when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obi came in with the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back each one, sat down. Man came in, said, all rise. We all stood up, and Obi stood up with the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures, and the judge walked in, sat down with the C&I dog, and he sat down. We sat down. Obi looked at the C&I dog. Then the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and looked at the C&I dog. And then at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and began to cry, because Obi came to the realization that it was a typical case of American blind justice and there wasn't nothing he could do about it. And the judge wasn't going to look at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. And we was fined $50 and had to pick up the garbage in the snow, but that's not what I came to tell you about. Came to talk about the draft. Got a building down New York City, it's called Whitehall Street, where you walk in and you get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. I went down to get my physical examination one day, and I walked in, I sat down, got good and drunk the night before, so I looked and felt my best when I went in that morning. cause I wanted to look like the all-American kid from New York City. Man, I wanted to feel like the, I wanted to be the all-American kid from New York. And I walked in, sat down, I was hung down, brung down, hung up, and all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I walked in, I sat down, they gave me a piece of paper, said, kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. And I went up there, I said, shrink, I want to kill. And I want to kill. Kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead, burnt bodies. I mean, kill. 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 And I started jumping up and down, yelling, kill. Kill. And it started jumping up and down with me, and we was both jumping up and down, yelling, kill. Kill. And the sergeant came over, pinned the medal on me, set me down the hall, said, you're our boy. Didn't feel too good about it. Proceeded on down the hall, getting more injections, inspections, detections, neglections, and all kinds of stuff that they were doing to me at the thing there. And I was there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things, and I was just having a tough time there. And they was inspecting, injecting every single part of me, and they wasn't leaving no part untouched. Proceeded through, and I when finally came to see the very last man, I walked in, sat down after a whole big thing there, and I walked up and said, what do you want? He said, kid, we only got one question. Have you ever been arrested? And I proceeded to tell him the story of Alice's restaurant, Massacre, with full orchestration and five-part harmony and stuff like that, and then all the phenomena stopped me right there and said, kid, did you ever go to court? I proceeded to tell him the story of the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one that stopped me right there and said, kid, I want you to go over and sit down on that bench that says Group W. Now, kid! And I walked over to the bench there, and there's Group W is where they put you. If you may not be moral enough to join the army after committing your special crime, and there was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking people on the bench. There's mother rapers, father stabbers. Father rapers sitting right there on the bench next to me, and one, it was mean and nasty and ugly and horrible and crime-fighting guys are sitting there on the bench, and the meanest, ugliest, nastiest one, the meanest father raper of them all, was coming over to me, and he was mean and ugly and nasty and horrible and all kinds of things, and he sat down next to me and said, kid, what'd you get? Said I didn't get nothing. I had to pay $50 and pick up the garbage. He said, what were you arrested for, kid? And I said, littering. And they all moved away from me on the bench there to carry eyeball and all kinds of mean, nasty things. Till I said, and creating a nuisance. And they all came back, shook my hand, and we had a great time on the bench talking about crime, mother stabbing, father raping, all kinds of groovy things that we was talking about on the bench. And everything was fine, we were smoking cigarettes and all kinds of things until the sergeant came over, had some paper in his hand, held it up and said, kids, this piece of paper's got 47 words, 37 cents, and 58 words. We want no details of crime, time, crime, and that kind of thing. Got slept, time, tell about the crime. Want to know the rest of the officer's name, and that kind of thing. You got to say, and talk for 45 minutes, and nobody understood a word that he said. But we had fun filling out the forms and playing with the pencils on the bench there. And I filled out the massacre with the four-part harmony and wrote it down there just like it was, and everything was fine, and I put down a pencil and I turned over the piece of paper, and there on the other side, in the middle of the other side, away from everything else on the other side. In parentheses, capital letters, quotated, read the following words. Kid, if you rehabilitated yourself, I went over to the sergeant and said, Sergeant, you've got a lot of damn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself. I'm sitting here on a bench. I'm sitting here on a Group W bench. Because you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being a litter bug. He looked at me and said, Kid, we don't like your kind. And we're going to send your fingerprints off to Washington. And friends, somewhere in Washington, enshrined in some little folders, a study in black and white of my fingerprints. And the only reason I'm singing you the song now is because you may know somebody in a similar situation. Or you may be in a similar situation. And if you're in a situation like that, there's only one thing you can do. Is walk into the shrink wherever you are. Just walk in and say, shrink. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant and walk out. You know, if one person, just one person does it, they may think he's really sick and they won't take him. And if two people do it in harmony, they think they're both faggots and it won't take either of them. And if three people do it, can you imagine three people walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out? They may think it's an organization. And can you imagine 50 people a day? I said 50 people a day walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out. And friends, they may think it's a movement. And that's what it is. The Alice's Restaurant Anti-Massacre Movement. And all you gotta do to join is to sing it the next time it comes around on the guitar. With feeling. So we'll wait till it comes around on the guitar here. Sing it when it does. Here it comes. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. That was horrible. Want to end war and stuff, you gotta sing loud. You could put a lot. I've been singing the song now for 25 minutes. I could sing it for another 25 minutes. I'm not proud or tired. So we'll wait till it comes around again. And this time with four part harmony and feeling. We're just waiting for it to come around is what we're doing. All right now.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
Excepting Alice.
You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. So walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
Da 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 da. At Alice's.